Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't doing it alone.
Ain't doing it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No
bigger, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Everybody, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome listeners all around this beautiful world, and I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God's word with the scripture and prayer, and our scripture is a living sacrifice, and that is Romans 12:1-13, a living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers, here reads the word of God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Okay? In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. be patient in trouble, and just keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, we just enter into your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. We thank you for Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of bring back the family. God, we pray that you will use us and this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family in the manner in which it's meant for families to operate. Lord God, please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help your children to do what you have them to do, Lord. Please help the parents to give the youth what is needed to make it in this world. And, Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that Bring Back the Family concentrate on you. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak and to them that are listening. Let your glory come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, hey, if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? All right. So, wake up, everybody. It is a call for us people to wake up. To wake up to what's happening around us. It's a call for people to wake up, get engaged, and make a difference in this world. It's time for us to make a difference. Challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. Whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. And it encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who's willing to be responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this beautiful world. You know, all they need is a good foundation, a good foundation. They need our help. We have to show them how to make it, and the way we're going to do it, they just need a head start. We got to give them a head start to help them with that foundation, okay? Are we going to prepare them? Who's going to take the torch and running the race? You know, who's going to be in charge of doing the next great things? They are. You know why? Because we prepare them. Okay, we could do it. We could do this for our kids. Our parents did it for us. Okay? They were focused, and they spent quality time. They spent time and quality time so that we, our children, would not be a nuisance, you know. They didn't want us to be a nuisance to people. That's why they spent time with us. So we don't want our kids, you know, to go out and be a nuisance to the community or to the world, okay? All right? That way you don't have to worry about them. Once you put them out there, you put them out there right, you don't have to worry about them. You know, they can grow up into good young adults and be productive in the community, okay? We don't want them out terrorizing and making a bad family name, okay? All right. So wake up. Let's all get together and do what we need to do for ours so that they can be good, productive citizens, and we don't have to worry about them coming back, you know, knocking us upside the head, getting what they need. Okay? Hey, good evening, everybody. All right. So, well, I just want to talk about, you know, what do we have planned for our youth and students' future. You know, a lot of the kids are, it's June and it's graduation time. What do we have for our youth, for their future? Have we made any plans for them? Do we have any plans in place, any goals, or are we going to, you know, just celebrate, you know, and that's it? What are the goals? It's graduation time, and we all have someone that is graduating in our family, maybe a friend, a church member, or a godchild, a foster child, young adult. Might be a preschooler, a kindergartner, all the way through college. You want to shout any of them out, you know, feel free when we open up the lines, you can shout out your young person. Let us know what they're doing, if they're graduating, what's their future, you know, endeavors, what are they going to do, what you got in store for them, what they got in store for themselves. We want to know. We want to keep up with these kids. We want to know so we can support whatever they do, okay? Don't shout it out on Bring Back the Family, because we are focused on the youth. We love the youth of all ages, and we want the best for all of them, okay? For all of them. We want the best for all our youth, all our kids, all our children, okay? I hope that you, the listeners, are sharing and letting the young folk know that Bring Back the Family is here and what we are doing and what we're about. I just hope that they are listening and you know, telling them to listen, to tune in and sharing this information. Don't keep it to yourself. If we really want to help and see a change, you know, this could be the start. If we really want to help and you want to see a change, you know, share, Bring Back the Family, share it, you know, because this could be the start of just getting our youth together. We want to get them and help them and work with this on this side of the wall. We don't want to get them on the other side. We want to work with them on this side. We want to do our investment on this side, okay? So parents and caregivers and young adults, what is your plan for the future? Everyone is moving forward to the next grade level. And so are they prepared? Are they really prepared to move on? The little ones, do they know what they are supposed to know to move on to the next level? I don't know what the little ones learn now, little preschoolers, and then they learn their names, the alphabets, counting the shapes and sizes, you know, the addresses. Do they know how to interact? Can they read, you know? What level are they reading at, or where are they supposed to be in their level? Are they in the level that they are supposed to be reading at or above? Do you care? Are you concerned? Well, test them. Test them to see where they are in their learning. All it takes is some quality time. Whatever it is they should have learned for that grade level that they're in, you know, test them. See if they can read. See if they can or cannot write. See if they can add, subtract, multiply. Test them. Do they know their numbers, letters, spelling of their names, address, colors? Test them, you know, at their level. See where, you know, that way you can see where they are so that they can work on what they need to work on maybe this summer, and or you can find out why they are not where they should be. If we don't ask questions or, you know, about educators with, you know, some kind of concern or so we could confront this literacy issue, and then your children will just keep being pushed through the school system without learning anything. So if we don't ask any questions, if we don't let the educators and staff and things know that we're concerned, you know, then you won't even know if your kid can learn. And they'll, like I said, they'll just keep pushing them through the school system not knowing anything. And before you know it, they're graduating and they can't even read and write. Okay? Yeah, they'll be pushed through the system. You know, they won't be prepared for the next level. Because it's still going on. It's been going on for a long time. Because we do have teachers that teach and care about your child learning. They do care. And you have some that don't care. And they bring, you know, their problems to school with them and lay it on the kids, okay? How do I know that? Because I ask questions of kids all the time. I always ask them, what did you learn today? What happened in class today? What you do in class, you know. I got an example of one young man, I think I told you this before, always asked them, him and his siblings, you know, what they did in class today. And so they kept saying, oh, we had a free day. So I was like, what is a free day? You know, well, we just do whatever we want to do, sit around and talk and, you know, just have a free day. We don't have to do anything. We put our head down, we go sleep. And so, and he said, our teacher says she don't have time, that she has to get home to her kids. And so I, you know, just give him a little lecture and tell him, you know, that where you tell your teacher, this is what I tell them to tell their teacher, is that if she don't teach you now, she will be a victim of not teaching later. I tell them to tell her about my slogan of, if you don't teach our youth now, we will be victims of not teaching later. And that's what I told them to tell her. And that she's getting paid to teach you. That's her job, to teach you, you know, so that you can learn, so that you can be able to have what you need to make it. I say, ask her, don't she have a home to live in a nice neighborhood? And don't she think that you need your education as well so that you can live the way that you want to live, you know? And so I talk to them like that, you know. And so I let them know that they're being robbed of their education and that they will be angry when they find out that they were not taught or prepared to go on to the next level and that they got what they were supposed to get, you know, at the time, you know, because once you're older, then you realize, wow, I got robbed. It's too late then, okay? And they just pass you on. So I had that conversation with him, and he went on, you know, what you tell kids, sometimes they remember and they think about it, and sometimes they don't. Well, he went and he told her just that. And then he got the principal involved. And so the teacher was confronted. And so now when I ask him, you know, what you do in class today, he got something positive to tell me, something good that he learned. And then I tell him, okay, well, show me what you learned today. So he's not having that problem with this particular teacher anymore. He said they're learning. He said she makes sure that she's teaching them and she's not coming to school telling them her problems. Okay, so that's why you have to talk to your kids so that you will know what's going on. It's important to discuss your youth, what is expected from them and what is expected of the teachers so that they can know what they are supposed to have, you know. What are the expectations of their teachers? They should know and what's required. We have to keep our youth encouraged, have high expectations of them, so that they can look forward to being challenged when they go to school. Plan for their future now. Don't wait. They're in the sixth or the eighth grade. They should have a plan for their future. We should have some kind of idea of what they want to do. okay? Let's work on it. Ninth graders all the way to the 12th grade. What's the plan? Ask them, is it college, is it trade school, armed forces? Let them know what we need. Let them know we need police officers. Let them know we need teachers. Let them know we need nurses. It's a demand in all those fields, and it's for our kids too. It's for them. And so if we start out, you know, in the morning encouraging them, letting them know, you know, how strong they are, give them some positive affirmations, you know, that they could take with them to school and keep to know that they are needed, to let them know that they are needed and that they are somebody and somebody special and that they are smart and they are intelligent and they are good kids, okay? We need to just encourage them every day. Okay, every morning. Okay, so what I want to say, I wanted to say too that talking about discipline, I went to church today, and you know, our awesome Pastor O talked about mad love and the love his parents gave him. In the form of discipline, okay, and how his dad used to punish him and give him those good old down home ironing cord whoopings, the ironing cord, you know, and I got them too, and it was in the form of love, you know, that mad love, and that's how they disciplined us back then, And it was just kind of, he talked about it in church today. And he talked about it. It's just funny because he's so hilarious. Talked about how his dad used to make him hold the pole in the basement and, you know, get him a whooping with the ironing cord. And so that was his way of letting him know that he was loved. But if you don't discipline your kids, if you don't discipline them, then they don't think that you love them. They really don't. And it didn't kill us back then. It made us obedient. It made us listen. We wasn't out there robbing and beating up on old people and going to jail and all those things. So now with our kids today, they just kind of make us do like a timeout with the young folk now. And so they want to put us in jail for disciplining them, you know, with the belt or, you know, pushing them around or whatever. They don't want us to put our hands on our kids at all. And so now we got a big disciplinary problem, you know. You try disciplining them and love them and, because you care about them. You care about them enough to discipline them, okay? So now they're kind of basically out of order, and they say things the young people say to adults now is like unheard of, but it's happening. So I found another way to love them and punish them, okay? Another way to love them and punish them. That way you'll get something out of it and they'll get something out of it. Okay? So go with me for a minute to do this, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. And I just want to hear what you think. Okay? So the first thing I said is, okay, so I found another way to love them and punish them at the same time, so, you know, for both of us to get some satisfaction out of this. So go to the school and be concerned. That's love and punishment because they don't want to see you coming. Make sure they read a book to you regularly, all the time. That's love. Make sure you go to the parent-teachers conferences and express your concerns and check on your child, your youth, your kid. That's love. Make sure we encourage higher education. That's love. Make a plan for them in their learning each grade level. That's love. Make sure they know what they know. Test them. Test them. That's love. Find out what they learn in school each and every day. That's love. Ultimate punishment. Best love of all, of all times. Take them to church. That's love. Make sure they go to Sunday school. That's love. Invest in an age-appropriate Bible for them. That's love. Give our youth what they can use for the rest of their life. Okay? Give them what they can use for the rest of their life. Give them God. Give them Jesus. Okay? Time, attention. Give them some time, quality time. That's love. Hug them. Tell them you love them. Give them work to do. Give them an allowance. That's love. Teach them how to bake a cake, cookies, brownies. That's love. Teach them how to sew so they can make their own clothes. Put them in a karate class. So when they're fighting, you know, it won't be no big deal. They'll look at fighting a whole different way. They won't even want to fight because karate make you feel differently about fighting. Mm-hmm. That's love. Put them in, just make sure they're busy. Put them in some sports, but let them know the education come first. Mm-hmm. Keep their grades up and reward them. That's love. How about having a quiet, peaceful home without drama? Quiet. Then they'll learn to be quiet. We got a lot of noise going on. They're going to be noisy. Sometimes they take all that noise to school with them and the drama and everything along with it. They need a quiet place to study that they could call their own with plenty of books to read, like their little own library. Make it fun and colorful. Okay, so they'll love to be in that little quiet place and space. Mm-hmm. They could be reading, studying their own little quiet home with some peace. Okay? Now, that's love. Quiet. Who don't want quiet time? Mm-hmm. That's love and punishment. And then we would know that we have done all we can do. No regret. They could tell their children how they were punished and loved. And have lasting memories, just like we tell them how we had lasting memories, how we were punished. They'll do just like we do right now. We still talk about how we were punished. This will be a way for them to tell and have lasting memories about how they were punished. Okay? They'll be just saying, we just got all kind of love. We were made to do this and that. Mm-hmm. Our parents came to our school. Our parents cared about our work. Mm-hmm. You want them to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. Our parents put us in all these different activities. They made sure that we were busy. They made sure they talked to our teachers and let the teachers know they could call us anytime. They cared about our education. They cared about us being able to make it in this world and go out and be able to be professionals. They cared about us. I'm a professional today, they will say. Because of my parents. They'll say that. Mm-hmm. So let's start punishing our kids with love. Taking our homes back. Taking our homes back. Taking our kids back. We need to bring our kids back home. We do. We need to take over. Take back over. Let them know who in charge, okay? So, press one. Let me know what you're thinking, what you think about all that love and that punishment. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yep. So press one. Let me know what you think. But all that love and punishment, you know, probably already doing most of that. But let's share it so that everybody can do it, you know, be concerned. Okay? So if you want to have a word, you are welcome to press one and talk to me today. It's June. I'm excited. I'm just excited about doing this show every week. I'm excited about, you know, the future of our kids and where we want to see them. You know, we still want to help on our block. Don't forget, block by block, block by block, do something and create something on your block for the youth. Okay, do something. If it's just giving them books, giving them some work to do, show them how to have good work ethics. Hey, we need them. We need this next generation. Who gonna look out for us? we gonna be in trouble. Somebody's gonna be in trouble down the line because if we're not training them and giving them the work ethics that they need, then who's going to do the work? Who's going to do the work? Okay, so while we here on this earth breathing and taking it all in, let's do some good. Let's do some good for the youth. Let them be our focus. Whatever, you know, every waking hour, let them be our focus because it is their time. It's their time. They deserve to be safe. They deserve to be educated. They deserve everything that we had. They deserve it. Okay? Somebody gave it to us, and we need to give it back to them. Okay? So if you want to say something, press 1. I will open up your mic. And let me see. Okay. Here we go. Somebody got their hand raised. Okay. Hello, 6695. You are on Bring Back the Family.
Hello, Kathy.
Hey, Terrence, how you doing?
Good. Just got here from a little shopping. You know,
cool.
I agree with everything that you were saying. Mm-hmm. But one thing I would add to what mm-hmm. you were saying is we need to encourage our kids to write books, and we need to get them started early, even though mm-hmm. it may take years to get that book written. We need to get them started early on writing a book, so when they do get their book published, people will be inspired to write their own books about their own life. And the reason why I say that is I am now in the middle of writing my own book. And while I was beginning to write my own book, The Lord told me, why don't you, he said, I want you to get on Bring Back the Family on Sunday mm-hmm. and encourage the youth to begin writing their own book. Because you never know who will be inspired by your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by me being a Christian, by so many of us who are writing books being Christians, it may change their view about God and the Holy Spirit. it may change their outlook about making Jesus their Lord and Savior.
Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Gat.
Go ahead. I interrupted.
So, to anybody that is listening who is having a hard life, who is under the age of 20, start sitting down and begin to write your own memoir, because you never know who you will inspire.
Mm-hmm.
And you may never know, you may be impacted by your own story. So to the youth, instead of sitting in the house saying you're bored, if you're under the age of 20, take time and sit down and just start and just begin to write down how your memoir is going to go. Because, like I said, you never know who you are going to inspire in your later years. Because that person that you might inspire might be your next teacher. They might be your next police officer.
Mm-hmm.
They might be the next youth minister. You never know. So to the youth, when you are bored and when you want something to do, instead of sitting at home watching TV saying you're bored, sit down and spend time with the Lord and start writing a Christian memoir about your own life. Because you never know who you will impact next.
Right, because if they don't never hear such things, then they won't even know or even think about even doing it, you know.
Right.
You could write your own book, you know. If they never hear that, they won't even think about it at all. That won't even be in their, you know, memory or their vocabulary or anything.
And you know what? They hear it, but they don't embrace it. Because
I see a lot of young people can't even read, you know. And if you can't read, you surely can't write. So hopefully
Right. Even if they can't read, take time to sit down and read your mother's memoir, your father's memoir, your auntie's memoir. Don't say this is boring. Reading your auntie's or your father's or your uncle's or your pastor's memoirs may be the push you need to write your own memoir. And if you need help with reading or writing, ask your parents. Don't be afraid of them. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, and the parents have to be the encouragers, you know. We have to tell them, and then we have to put them in certain positions if we want them to be able to do certain things.
That's it.
We just let them stay in the house and play video games. That's all they're going to do.
That's
so while
it.
They're playing those video games, you could be encouraging them about, look, y'all can make those same video games. You guys can be the makers of those games, you know, and be the ones that make the millions for them, you know, and not always the consumers. So, yeah, we have to tell them and put them in positions where they can, you know, even think about writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that's something that, you know, we could do on our block. Maybe just start a little writing club or a little writing class.
That's it.
To teach them even how to write. A lot of our kids can't even write the proper English.
Can't even write.
You need that in this world. So, they have to kind of start there. But, have a little a book reading club or a writing club, and that'll start them. So I say you got to put them in positions to be able to even think about that something that they want to do. Yeah.
And a lot of our youth, go ahead, Kat.
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
And a lot of our youth don't have the drive to write that memoir. Because they weren't put in the position to learn how to write their own memoirs.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're teaching them in school now. Maybe one of the teachers press one and get in and just tell us what they're teaching the kids as far as writing and you know, acting and doing, having plays and things like that. I know we used to have plays in school and read different, you know, literary books and things like that. So I don't know how they are preparing the kids right now for learning how to write or read or write a book or even want to be a actor or actress or, you know, do plays and things like that.
Yep.
So I don't even hear about that kind of stuff anymore. So if you're an educator and
we don't,
and just tell us what y'all doing to help the kids in those areas.
And it's sad because back when we were growing up in the 50s, From the 1900s to the 2000s, we used to hear about all that creative writing and cursive and learning how to cook. We don't hear much about that no more.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we used to have homemaking class in school, learn how to sew, bake, and how to set a table, all of those things. But I don't think they even do any of that anymore. So it's up to us to teach them. We're going to have to bring all that stuff out on our lawns or block your street off and just have a little home economics class and just teach them how to bake some cookies and do some sewing or set a table and some of the things that we learned. Mm-hmm.
They're teaching it, Kat, but the problem is it's faded out with all these other subjects we got. They're teaching it, but it's beginning to be faded out.
Yeah, I think it has faded out already. I never hear anyone talk about they have a home economics class or, you know, teach you how to bake or, or set a table and things like that. Yeah. Even swimming. I don't even know if they still have swimming. Our kids need to know how to swim. They could be lifeguards, you know. When I go out to the rec center, I see young men out there, lifeguards. I'm like, cool, you know. Yeah. So hopefully some of the kids will see those lifeguards out there and they'll want to be a lifeguard.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an extra skill you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, playing an instrument, music, learning languages. So many things our kids could do that they should be doing.
Yep.
And that we should make it a point to give them everything that they could use, you know, for life. Yeah, other languages and playing instruments. And
that's all I wanted to cut out with this. Because when I got home, I was laying here listening to you, and I said to myself, we need to teach our kids to tell their stories of how they learn in school so they can impact other youth when we're not around anymore.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, man, Cat.
Yes.
Cat. Yeah, you back.
Yes. Okay. Good deal. Okay. Can everybody hear me? All
yes,
right.
We can.
All right. I have a little disconnection going on. Okay. Where were we? Okay. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say? I'm disconnected there for a minute. Thanks, Taz. That was some good information. Good feedback.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good feedback. Anybody want to shout out their kids as they're graduating? What they have going on, what school they're going to go to? I'm just excited about, you know, our kids and what they could do and what they can be, where they can go. You just got to start sharing the love and just the care and the concern. So I know that they can, we can expose them to some things, you know, so that they get used to going and used to being out in public and doing some positive things. Before we talked about exposing them to different things like the theater, low-cost things that you can go and take them so that they can, just be out and be able to be interactive. Let me see. Exposing them to the theater, the opera house that's inside the city, going to the museum, Toledo Museum, taking them to Chicago to the museum, drive to the colleges, you know, let them get that college experience. They might decide, you know, that they want to go to college. If we just take them and show them that life, let them talk to some of the students, making sure education is discussed on a regular basis. Just taking them places. Take them to the Detroit Zoo. Take them downtown to the Science Center. There's a lot of things that they can do. We used to go on road trips all the time, North Carolina, go through the mountains and just talk about the mountains. And I used to take, when I went as a kid, I couldn't wait till I got grown so that I can go, because I learned the way. Once I was, when I went so much, I learned how to get there. And I was like, when I get my car, when I get to the age I could drive and go through those mountains, I'm going to do it. And so I've taken a lot of kids on those trips to North Carolina and go through the mountains. And I just, you know, just let them see all the beauty of the mountains and going through and letting them know how they blew up the mountains with dynamite to make the tunnels and things like that. And then they had to learn what the tunnels were when we went through. So it was a lot of fun when I went, and it was a lot of fun when the kids went because I was able to see them enjoy it. Yeah. Airplane rides, bus trips, just exposure. Okay. So you guys are quiet today. You're all online and you don't have anything to say. Press one. Talk to me today. But so keep it moving. So, Pastel, you ready to come on? If you want to visit our church, because we have a really, really good time at our church, Runners for Christ Ministry, you are welcome to come. I'll look up the address and give it to you before it's over. Or if you want to ask Pastor Earl some questions, and he'll be glad to answer them. You know, we went to a funeral service yesterday, and Akilah Freeman, her aunt, passed away, and we went to had her services yesterday, and Pastor Earl was the officiant, and eulogized her services. And so let me see if Keela's on here. Keela, you want to tell him what they said about his teaching yesterday at the services? Keela, are you there? She's probably resting. She's really, really probably tired. But anyway, at the services, Pastor O was a Bible teacher, a Sunday school teacher, Bible school teacher at, I think, Mount Zion and some of the churches. And some of his students were at the funeral service yesterday. And they talked about your teaching and how you were a fun teacher and how you made Bible study and studying the Bible easy to understand. And, you know, he has a great sense of humor. He's funny. And he talks about the Word, and he has all kinds of, you know, just he can get hilarious. And so they talked about him. Some of your students were in the, you probably saw them, were in the survey yesterday, and they just talked about you and how, what a good teacher you were, and that you really made the Bible fun, and you made it easy to learn, and they understood. Yeah. And so it left a lasting memory with them. Yeah, something they could hold on to. So that's what they say about girls. So, hey, what you say about that? Let me see. Do I have you on? Okay, there you go. No wonder. Make your hand raise, and I haven't even tricked you in.
Or, there we go.
There you go. I had to scroll all the way down.
Yeah.
There you go, Pastor. Yeah. Did you hear what I said? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. On that, I just thank God for it because, see, even though I studied under some real technical teachers, you know, from all the way back to 75, that's really a long time ago, and they were real technical, real, you know, deep, you know. But I sometimes felt like They were too deep. They were so deep you had to spend 5 minutes just trying to figure out that last sentence, and so you kind of miss everything else they said. But I stayed with them, and I studied under people like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Matthew Henry, a long time ago when his commentary was just one big giant volume, Bibles from, I got myself a Bible from over 26 translations. What I was looking for was a Bible that would just speak to me. One that was, that was King James. His mission was, the King James Version is a version of Bibles that existed before it. And so I went after everything I could to help get the truth about what God was saying. And turns out all those different versions tell the same truth. And I went through a whole lot for nothing. But anyway, I did find the truth. And so I'm just a plain guy. I'm Peter. I'm not Paul. I am not I didn't sit at the feet of Gamaliel and learn everything I learned. Peter sat at the feet of Jesus, and after Jesus, the feet of the Holy Spirit. That's me. I'm the ignorant fisherman. So I can't even get high tech. I can't even get difficult, because then I won't know. So God bless me to be able. It was Pastor Barlow. He put me, even though he knew I was on another level, he put me in with 7 and 8 year olds under Sister Golston at Mount Zion back in 1976 and 77. Mm-hmm. And they were 7 and 8 year olds, and I'm like, I'm ready to teach grown-ups, 7 and 8 year olds? But I did it. And I learned to take the Bible and break it down so they could get it. And that's when the Lord taught me, that's how you preach, that's how you teach. You do it like I did it. If the kids don't get it, then the grown-ups, So I taught toward, I felt like if there are kids listening to the sermon, if they get it, then I know the parents got it. And I took that same thing, and then when I moved to First Baptist Church under E.M. Brown, I took that same thing to those kids. And I found out that if you put it to them in their language, they can understand it and grasp it real quick, and they don't see the Bible as something old and antiquated, but they see it as something right now. And, the Word of God is, he only wrote one Bible, He only gave us one word, and so it never changes. A girl named Yvonne Jones, one time, I think she was a Women's Day or was some kind of something, but they called her to speak at it. And she talked about taking the Word of God and making it applicable to today, to right now. How are you serving it? I think it was something the nurses used to have, a salad-o-rama. They just had a whole bunch of different salads, and it was an afternoon program, and they would have chicken, too. That's how they got the preachers to come out. And then they would have a speaker, and she spoke on that, and that's it. How do we, and Pastor Janice Tate taught on that, too, about making the Word of God more palatable to your audience. And so you can do a whole lot of deep study, but in the end, the Lord's only going to give you an itty bit of what he gave you to give to the people. And he wants you to give it to them like Jesus did. They understood Jesus because he spoke to them about the labor of their lives, things they did every day. And he took the word something in heaven, some heaven, and made it use something on earth to explain what was going on in heaven. And they got it because they did that every day. A sower went out to sow seed. Everybody who sowed seeds, and most of them lived an agrarian lifestyle, right? Unless they had some sort of skill, they lived an agrarian lifestyle. They grew food. So when he said a sower went out to sow seed, he got everybody's attention because they know about that. And he explained how with those seeds, and they knew how some of those seeds would fall in different places. And so the word you speak would fall in different places. Not all of it's going to fall in good ground and produce. For instance, Jesus cast some seeds on the rich young ruler, and not one of them took root. He rode away sad. He had been seeded by the best, by Jesus. But you know what I mean? So you learn to take the word and break it down so everybody can get it. It wasn't like he didn't understand what Jesus was saying to him. He just couldn't receive it. But that's where it comes from. And we should all want to be that skillful. God wants you to be so skillful with the word that you can walk up to a young person and crank up a conversation with them, even though your lives are completely different, your realities are completely different. Get to know theirs, and then take the word of God and speak it in their language. That's what the Lord did with these Christian rappers or Christians who rap, whichever, you know, label they put themselves under. But what he is trying to do is get their music to catch the ear, but then put a word in there that'll catch their life. That's what he's doing with that. He did it with the Winans for years. He took them undercover, and everybody thought they were just making secular music with a Christian theme. But it is the song that they're singing and what they're singing about that is the word of God. And it is so open and hidden at the same time that it will catch even an unsaved person. You're talking about gospel songs reaching right into the devil's stronghold. How do you think the devil felt when he heard unsaved people playing the Winans song, playing Tremaine Hawkins, or who was that, Oh Happy Day? Everybody played that. Okay, I think the devil felt about that. So that's what he's doing today. And if you're going to serve the Lord today, especially with getting youth, you're going to have to see where they are and bring them out in the direction you want them to come. Okay, with the word of God. So we have to be skillful. They have to be super educated. Mm-hmm. Got to have that super secular education. Get as much as you can get in them, get it in them. But don't deny or neglect the Christian education. Those two together could give you somebody awesome. Somebody who could go straight to the top of a Fortune 500 company like the one I used to work for, where I kept seeing these Christian things and all the handouts. And I'm like, what is this? And then I found out that the owner of the company, the CEO anyway, the one who had the most shares in the company, was a Christian. So he could pretty much do what he wanted to do throughout the country, company. And in our branch, we had 120 vehicles. That's not counting all the branches that was all across the United States. But some parent got him secularly educated and got him a Christian education, and now he's the CEO of a great company, and he's Christianizing everybody in it. Not with subliminal messages either. These were flat out. You could tell this somebody is in here witnessing. And guess what? When I left there and opened my company doing the same thing, we did the same thing. We were not subliminal about our relationship with the Lord. I had been secularly educated in agronomics, you know, to put down fertilizer and weed control. It's just a big word for that. But that is a big job because, you know, you have to learn so much. But that got me in a position where I could witness to over 300 people regularly, 6 times a year. Each one, okay, some got it, like the Jehovah's Witness lady, she got offended and said, y'all put that Christian stuff in here, I don't want y'all no more, so, you know, that happens. but she had been a customer, though, for a couple of years, so I guess it just came to a head, she couldn't take no more. But anyway.
you know, they said that, I forgot, they said that they could not wait to get to your class each time And, you know, when June say, break it down for us, you really actually do it. You break it down for them, and they get, the younger kids get it, and they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. When, that comes from the Lord. It's the way he raised me. We always just talked. And it wasn't until I started reading the Bible and a lot closer that I found out all of our conversations were about his word. I thought I was having private one-on-one conversations with him, but it was the Bible. And I kept reading and across things we talked about, and I said, hey, I thought that was just us. He's like, no, I'm not going to speak to you about just us until you get here. But right now, whatever I want to say to you, I'll say through the Holy Spirit, and then it will be confirmed in my word. And so I learned to everything I hear, I confirm it with God's word. And that's what made me start memorizing the Bible from beginning to end. Because how can I know what God said or didn't say if I don't know what God said and wouldn't say? And so I just kept going back to the beginning, back to the beginning, back to the end to the beginning, until I got the gist of the whole story. And that's when I got kind of tripped out. I was like, wait a minute. The whole Bible about one thing, Jesus. We messed up. Jesus came to save us. He said, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm like, well, 66 books saying that, you know. But I guess he had to give us the whole story, as much as we could stand and look at us. We can't even really get it. But, it's the constant study. It's the constant study. That way, he said in 14:26 that the Holy Spirit would bring, John 14:26, that the Holy Spirit would bring to our remembrance whatever he said to us. Well, he said from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. So the more you know about that, the more you're going to hear him. And the more familiar you are with that, you can just sit down with somebody anywhere with no Bible in your hand or any of that, no phone or nothing, and you can talk to them as if you're a walking Bible. And that's what God wants, because if you look at the Bible, right, Peter didn't have a Bible. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they were New Testament preachers. And they were preaching Jesus and him crucified and just using the Old Testament as evidence of the Christ who should come. And now I'm telling you about the Christ that came. But they were just, his very first sermon, the Holy Spirit brought to his remembrance every scripture in there that he quoted and explained. That means Peter, even though he was a cusser, maybe that's what people say, but I don't believe that. I believe he just... when he's about the curses thing, he called down curses on himself rather than him cursing. But we just got it going, so what? You can't fix that. But Peter preached that whole first sermon. If you read it carefully, you will see it's a whole lot of scripture in there, and he explained it and how it fit New Testament, how Jesus is the combination of everything in the Old Testament. And he does it in chapter 2, and he does it again in chapter 3, and then you see Stephen do it, beginning in chapter 6, ending in 7 before he's stoned to death. But anyway, you see the same thing there. Oh, Stephen was super-duper awesome. Display of the Holy Spirit worked through him. This boy went all the way back to the beginning. Well, all the way back to Abraham anyway. It came all the way up until a certain point with the prophets, and then he just started prophesying on them, and they got kind of mad at him and stoned him to death. But I was amazed, and neither one of them had a scroll in their hand. Neither one of them had a Bible because it wasn't printed yet. They didn't even have anything but the Holy Spirit and a knowledge of the Old Testament, the scriptures. That's what they call them, the scriptures. And so I wanted that. I figured if God could do it with them, he can do it with me. If he could send Philip's hanging out in the cave in Acts chapter 8. The Holy Spirit, they're so in tune. The Holy Spirit says to him, hey, go down to the road that leads to Gaza. Philip knows this is the Holy Ghost. So he gets up and goes down to that road, and then the Holy Spirit says, see that chariot? Go run after it. Philip goes and runs there. He don't know what he's going to do. He's just been told by the Holy Spirit to do this. It's a blow-by-blow kind of situation, as you need to know, a need-to-know basis. So Philip gets up to the chariot, and he notices that the Ethiopian from Africa is reading the Bible, of all things. And so Philip notices he's reading a scroll of the Bible. He understands he's either a God-fearer or a proselyte to Judaism. A God-fearer is somebody who liked Judaism but hadn't taken a prerequisite circumcision to become a pseudo-Jew, right? Or join them as God told Abraham. Or he's a proselyte to Judaism, and he has been circumcised, making him joining the club of Jews. Okay, we'll just say it that way. But Philip knows he's one of them all right off the bat because he's reading the Word of God, right? And so Philip just asks one question: do you understand what you're reading? And he says, no. How can I unless some man explains it to me? And so Philip says, I'll do that. And where he was reading from was in Isaiah 57. And Philip took where he was reading from, Isaiah 57, which happened about 700 years before this man is reading, before Philip and this man is meeting, and Philip brought him through 700 years of history. And he had done such an excellent job with bringing this man up to Jesus, from Isaiah to Jesus. Isaiah was talking about Jesus. He was the one led as a sheep, done to the slaughter and all of that. He is the one that Isaiah was talking about. He is the Jesus that you heard about since you're here for Pentecost. You had to be here 50 days earlier, okay? So he knows about Jesus. He heard about his crucifixion. He heard about his resurrection. He had heard about his miracles. And this man got faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He told Philip, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? That's what God wants. That's what God wants parents to do for children. That's what he wants us to do for the youth, to make the word of God exciting to them, relevant to them. Stop trying to antiquate or traditionalize God's word to your particular period in history. The Lord's word was here before we were here. The Lord's word was here, if you will, with Adam. And so we cannot say or think that the way Adam was taught, that's the way we should be taught. No, we should teach them. We should do what Jesus did. He took the things that people were familiar with, and he took the word of God and applied it to that, and they got it. And this man got it. He said, look, here is water. So we know that Philip taught him about John's baptism and the baptism that Jesus talked about in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In their authority, I baptize you. He heard about that. Philip taught him about that. We don't know how long they was riding in that chariot, but we know when it came, when they got near some water, brother man wanted to be baptized. And so he gave his life to Christ. And then he went on back off to, so Philip is talking with a man that he can't be high tech with. He is talking with a man who don't have the Holy Spirit. He is talking with a man who has some knowledge of the Old Testament Bible. He is a proselyte to Judaism. He ain't a Jew. He wasn't raised Jewish. So Philip can't go high tech with this man. Philip has to do what God wants us to do with our youth today. Lovingly lead them along. What Mary did with Jesus after his father died, and she was left as a single mother raising five boys and who knows how many girls, because we know exactly how many brothers he had, four brothers, plus Jesus, five, and sisters. So he had a number of sisters and brothers. And then Mary was left to raise Jesus and these brothers by herself. And look at the end of them. Tell me if she did not lovingly raise them to know who God was. She is teaching God about God. She is raising Jesus, God's the Son, his humanity, in his human side. He has to submit to her, as like the Bible says, when he was 12. He went home and was obedient to his parents, submissive to his parents. And after Joseph died, now he's submissive to his mother, even though he's the older brother and has to take on the daddy role. But she taught him how to do that. And I'm sure Joseph did an excellent job while he was here. And Jesus grew up, helped his mama run the house. But this is what God wants us to do with the youth today. Jesus had a secular education. He was a carpenter. Plus, he could read and write. So he had a secular education. He knew how to make money. He had to make some chairs, some tables, some cupboards, or whatever those folks needed, whatever carpenters could make in old nasty Nazareth. He grew up in a little horrible town, a little filthy town, where people say stuff like this: can anything good come from Nazareth? No prophet comes from Nazareth. So it had a reputation. And that's where Jesus grew up. And in spite of all of that, his mother and his father trained them as best they could. And look what they turned out. James, he wrote one of the books of the Bible. Okay? He became the pastor, the leader of the Jerusalem church. And it was a huge church. 3,000 members strong the first day. And James became the pastor. Jesus' brother, not Peter or any of the other apostles, but James became the leader of that church. And these are the same brothers in Mark 3 and 21 who came with their mother to get Jesus because they thought he went nuts. And in John chapter 7, I think 3 through 5, is where even his brothers did not believe in him. But Jesus flipped that around. Did his brothers know about his immaculate conception? Jesus had to get them to believe, just like he had to get us to believe. And we know that they did, because we know the outcomes of their life. His whole family was there in the upper room. His whole family was there in Acts chapter 4 over John Mark's mama's house when they prayed the believer's prayer, and that whole room shook because God so received their prayer, because it was prayed by faith. So that is what God wants us to do. You know, I heard Pastor Terrence Tate talking about have them to write a story. And he always trips me out, so I have to listen to the stuff he say, okay? Because after he say something, then Jesus say something. And Jesus say, write that down. Tell them that is a good thing. Because what is the best way, especially a troubled youth, what is the best way for them to deal with their own situation? Write about it. Write about how you feel. Write about the people who made you feel that way. And here's the important part. Write about how you're going to overcome all of this, or how you overcame all of this. The book can be from 15 to 21 when it's done. And you can write how I was 15 and this was my life. These were my circumstances and situations, and this is what I did. And when I became 16, this was going on in my life. And 16, 17, 18, by the time you're 21, you got a book. And you got a book that can help a 15-year-old navigate his way. See, and you're only 15, and you can write a book and produce it when you're 21 that will help 15 million youth navigate their way from age 15 to 20. Oh, you know what I mean? What I did with the youth and how I would get their attention, to make them pay attention, I would say to them, this is it. This is it. You know them parents who are telling you to get in the house at a certain time? Those same parents going to be asking you when you leave and when you turn 18 and graduate. They're going to want to know when you leave. Those same parents who are giving you money now, they're going to be sticking their hands out talking about you need to help pay some rent around here, pay some bills. If you want to keep going up and in and out of that refrigerator, sleeping in that bed, you need to kick in. So those same parents, you're going to have to become like them. Do you know where they get the money to pay the light bill, the gas bill, your clothes, your food, the car that you ride back and forth to school in? Do you know where they get all that money from? You're going to find out. And then they sit there at the table scared to death. Why? Because some are 17. They're real close to that reality. And I say, God gives you 18 years to get it together. After that, you coming across to the other side, and you don't graduate from this till you leave here. And then they would get real serious about wanting God in their life, about wanting to know how to navigate through life. Because when you put that reality in their face, okay, you say you don't like it here, pretty soon you'll be 18 and you won't even have to be here. Quiet as kept, you 16, I can bounce you right now. And then you can be as grown as you want to be. But that scares them to death because that is a reality that they probably haven't prepared for at all. Why? Because for 15 to 18 years, somebody else has been doing it. And now all of a sudden, you have to do it. You have to deal with the realities of life. And with that, I had their attention. And then once you get their attention, it's easy to teach them the Bible. And another thing I did was, if the Sunday school lesson wasn't about what they wanted to talk about, I tell them, close the book. What do you want to talk about? What's your question? Mm-hmm. And they had a boatload of questions. I mean, a boatload of questions. But you take the word of God and apply it to those situations, and every situation wasn't Jesus riding in on a horse, coming to the rescue, picking you up, giving you an ice cream cone. That wasn't it. Some stuff was hard. We looked at Job's life. He had to go through that. And they really tripped when they found out, well, wait a minute, God is up in heaven letting people do stuff to us like that? I said, those aren't people. Those are spirits. That's the devil. Did you see what he did to Job? And he didn't need nobody's help, and he didn't have to ask God for extra power to do it. He just tore him up in a matter of minutes. He'll do the same to you. God gave Job something that he can give you. Job held up through all of that and made it to the end. You can do the same thing. And when they know, then they want to know, well, then how does God, well, this is what God expects you to do, and this is what God will do. It doesn't matter. I'll share something with you. And I'll be honest, scared me to death. I got a call the other day, Friday, and my son, one of my sons, Gerald Jr., he lives in Adrian, Michigan. And I got a call that said he had been arrested by the Lenawee County Sheriff, and they was taking him to Lenawee County Jail. And I got a number from the people who told me that, and I called the Lenawee County Jail. Somehow I got straight through to some sheriff deputy, and as soon as I mentioned his name, it's like he knew, and he said, yes, he's here. And so we had a conversation about what is the charge, what is the bail, or anything like that. It was no bail. It was about something that happened some time ago, but I had talked with his mother, and she told me that was answered. And so it was a done deal. So she prayed, I prayed, we prayed, okay, went to bed, right? Woke up Saturday morning. I've got the eulogy is going through my head. I have to do this eulogy for Keela. Okay, and it was awesome. She did an awesome job. Them things are not easy to do, putting together a home going, but she did an awesome job. But she awesome like that anyway. Got them awesome boys too. But anyway, had that running through my head that Saturday, right? And then Sunday I got a priest. These are two different sermons, and you know how I preach with no notes, so I have to memorize everything. And so this is all going on. I ain't got time to be thinking about my son, but I'm woke, and I'm doing my Saturday morning stuff, getting ready for the show, and my son's mother, she calls and tells me, oh, they brought him back home last night. They let him go last night. They literally brought him back home. Apparently, it was a big mistake. And I just cannot thank God enough for stuff like that. But those are the kinds of things that he'll do for you. When the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Well, that is one of those things. That is one of those things. I specifically asked the Lord to deliver him from whatever this is, to bring him out, just like you did Joseph. Joseph was locked up and in that jail for no reason at all. It was all a ruse, a lie. And you brought him out. Lord, bring my son out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure his mother was praying the same thing, and the sure baby Holy Ghost was just writing it. She writes her prayers out, so she was writing Jesus all night. But Jesus did it. I'm telling you, woke up that morning, and the report was he was home, he was safe. That is what God wants to do. And he'll come. They need to know, our youth need to know that he'll come through for you. You don't have to worry about this life. Just do the best you can in school. Do your best. Your best. Somebody else's best is their best. Do your best. If you gave your all and you got C's, but you felt like you did A work, well, hey, you gave your best. Those C's is A's. Okay? Because you gave your all. You can't give more than you got. And if we start recognizing that not all of our kids are going to be president of the United States, okay, not all of our kids are going to be doctors, nurses, lawyers, or have some sort of collegiate graduation from some college or pick up some sort of managerial skill, somebody's going to be a skilled trades person. Skilled trades people build the world. Okay? Skilled trades people build the world. It might be an engineer who designed the building, but it's skilled trades people who are going to put it together. And they get paid. They get paid very good salaries. So anyway, Lord have mercy, I went way over. I will. But Terrence said write their story. If these kids write their story, that would be powerful. And that's their way of giving back. And it's a coping mechanism, because from like 15 to 20, those are some crazy years. You know, the reality of life start coming on you. And if they could write about that, you know, and if they can't write because they've got some sort of problem and they can't really write it out, you know, not literal like that. Anyway, today is a day of tape recorders. Most of the books that you read today, somebody talked right into a tape recorder about what they wanted to say. Yeah. And now they got this thing called Dragon that you can talk to it and it types for you. I used, in my third book, and you can really tell it, I used a program, a little software program called Grammarly. I have no writing skills. If it wasn't for June Rogers and Janine Folks, I would have just canceled straight out. My last holdout was I am illiterate. I'm grammatically crippled. I can't write. So June comes to church one Sunday and hands me this book and told me to read it. I'm like, well, this don't even look like no Christian book. What is this? So I started reading it. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus. Shouldn't it have been a comma right there or a question mark or a period or a semicolon or something? This man, I think the only punctuation he knew was a period. But he wrote a book. Mm. And so that sort of blew my excuse about being completely grammatically challenged, and that's why I'm not going to write. That blew it out of the water. That led to my first book. I recently read my first book. I found 7 mistakes. So I was going to be even better in my second book, right, and find no mistakes. I found 10. You probably won't, but I knew what was supposed to be there. So I found them. But then I used Grammarly. And young people, if you want to write a book and you feel like you're grammatically challenged as I am, get this program called Grammarly. And Grammarly will fix all your mistakes, but you got to learn how to work with Grammarly because you might want to use some slang just to convey a message to a certain group, right? Grammarly don't understand slang. So it's a give and take kind of thing, okay? Mm. Now, in my third book, the Bible, God's word to us, I found two mistakes. That's the difference between having an assist and not. So write your story, and what you said, and I'll close with this for real. take responsibility and do something. If they're not teaching economics at school, I didn't know what that was, but they were teaching home ec, and they was teaching people how to cook. I love that class. You know why? Because my mother taught us how to cook, and I would go in there to eat. I wasn't hungry. I was kind of greedy, but I wasn't hungry. Okay, but I'd go in there, and we were making cookies, all kinds of stuff, and you can eat it. So that was like one of my favorite class next to auto mechanics and gym. The rest of them classes, they could have kept that, you know, like math and science and English. Those wasn't fun at all. But economics and gym, you know, and auto mechanics, that's all I needed. No, seriously, get all you can get. Because if you don't, and again, I love your slogan. If we don't help our youth today, we'll be victims of not helping them tomorrow. And that is so true. Because they got to eat. They got to have clothes. They want some money. They want a car. They want stuff. They don't have a car. You come to the corner. Here they are with their gun, borrowing your car.
Yeah. That's why we have to want the best for each and every kid. Each and every youth out there. Yeah. Got to give them all the love we give them.
And the worse they are, the more we should want that. Because it's like one person comes into the hospital, they finger cut. Another person comes in with a gunshot wound. They both need help. But the one who needs more help becomes a priority.
Right.
And so that's we should kind of weigh it out like that. Help them all, but don't shy away from the worst ones, because the worst ones need help in the worst kind of way.
That's right.
And they want help. God made us where we want structure.
They do. They want love. They want an iron and cord. They really do.
Oh, Jesus. Why you mention that? As soon as you said that, my hands grabbed the top of the desk like, oh, geez, I'm finna get a whooping. My legs are already starting to move. Oh, God. Boy, it's funny how you can get. But my father was telling us, I'm beating the jail out you. I'm like, what? If I don't do this, you'll go to jail. I'm like, no, I won't. I promise I won't.
He was funny. No wonder you so funny. He was funny.
And he'd be saying that stuff while he whooping you. You know, and all that sound like Robin Harris. Before Robin Harris whooped kid and play, I'm like, wow, my daddy must have been his friend. Because they're beating you and talking to you. And then tell you this one. This is the one that used to get me. When we was on our way down to the basement, this gonna hurt me more than it hurts you. I never could, you know, I ain't figured that one out till I was grown and had kids. But, Lord have mercy, that was the one that used to get me. This gonna hurt me more than it hurts you. I'm like, well, you really don't have to do it. Don't hurt yourself, you know.
Right.
But he knew. He had a lot of funny sayings. If you didn't go to him and ask for money right, and you say, Daddy, can I have a nickel? He would say, if I give it to you, if I just give it to you, I'll make a poor hustle out of you. So you standing there like, is that a yes or a no?
Right.
But when he don't hand you nothing your way, that's a no. But what he was saying is, come and say, Daddy, is there anything I can do to earn a nickel? Then he would tell you to go outside and do something. And then he'd give you way more than a nickel. But he going to give you some real work to do. It ain't no puffy play work. It's some real work.
Right. I know those kids on the porch trying to get me to I come to get $15. I'm going to tell them. What I got to tell them? I'm going to let you earn it.
I'm going to let you earn it. I can't give you 15, but I can show you how you can earn 15.
Next 3 weeks,
my grass going to need to be cut. So you're going to need to come over here for the next 3 weeks and cut this grass.
Right. Need cut today. Whoa, they're getting wild. I think I'm on my show. Get lost, kid. Okay, well, great. That is wonderful. Yeah, kids need love, and they want love. They want you to be concerned about them, and they do want to be disciplined, you know, but they have taken all of the discipline out of the home, and so now we got to find a new way to discipline that they can handle. Mm-hmm, that they want, So I know they don't like to show up at their school, so you show up at the school regularly, then, you know, that's some discipline right there.
Right. They'll do everything they can to make you stop coming up there.
Right.
Because you know, that ain't cool. Your mama was up here. She dragged you all the way out to school.
Come in with the belt on your neck.
Yes, your daddy carried you all the way to the car. Your feet wasn't on the ground.
Right. Goodness. Yeah, I got the
Iron Core
stars, I tell you.
So that thing there, that stopped us. That broke us. Me and my brother Christopher decided we weren't getting any more whoopings. And when he broke out that Iron Core, that was once, twice, that was it. We going straight. What we did was we made sure we did not get caught. That's because if you got caught, it was on. And then we grew up in that day where everybody up and down the street was like a Ring doorbell. They just everything you do and call them up and tell them. And then when you get home, I got a call from Miss Clark down the street. What was you doing down there? You can't lie, because if Miss Clark caught it, you was in front of her house doing it. So, and lies always make it worse.
Yeah.
And so I just look at him, look at my mother, look around and say, it was Christopher, Daddy. Christopher older than me. I was following him. That was my way out. But then they come right back with, well, if Christopher tell you to jump off a bridge, you going to do that too?
Right.
Get down in the basement.
Right, let's go.
It was good.
It has been wonderful. Like
you're
said,
welcome.
They need that secular education, that Christian education. That makes them well-rounded. They'll be able to handle all the fiery darts that's going to come their way with no problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Lord can put, along the way, he can put a lot of money in their pocket. Because I know people, I was telling you about Yvonne Jones. She married to Carlos Young, Yvonne Young now, anyway. And they are wealthy. I remember from where they came and where they ended up. Yvonne raised by a single mother, awesome single mother, though. Awesome grandfather and grandmother. So that plus I got a chance to play Big Brother and all that stuff. So, and then she married an awesome man named Carlos. She had told me about him, and I told her to send him Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33, and then have him to write what he believes that means to me. When I got his answer to what those scriptures meant to him, I called her up. I said, you need to drive to Connecticut and marry him tonight. Or if you get there in the morning, marry him in the morning. That's what you need. You need to get in the car, go where he is, and marry him. And they've been married now for maybe 20 years or something like that.
Wow.
You know, and they've got a bunch of boys, about five of them. And he has one of those, you know, those barrels you see for the construction. He owns one of the companies that put them out there.
Wow.
So, and that through that business, he became wealthy. But he had some other businesses, too. He was selling coffee, and both of them worked in for Ford Motor Company's engineers. So he left the corporate world to do something for himself, you know, so he could make a better way for his family. And it worked out for him. And now he's a wealthy man, but that's not where he started. But that's where God has brought them to thus far. So, yeah.
And he got five boys to carry it on.
And who's going to carry it on?
To train up and carry it on. That is great.
And his wife, they have, they're on our church website under Christian Resources. They have their own, let me see what he calls that. It's back to, it's about marriage and family.
Mm-hmm.
And they do seminars and workshops and all that good stuff. Let me look in here real quick. Young Marriage and Wealth Ministry. You know, he can literally tell you how to get wealthy the legal way and how to maintain the wealth after you get it. And since they have a successful marriage with a blended family, they can tell you how to navigate through that as well. So they've been successful at that. So they got a lot of experience in that stuff on both sides, the secular and the spiritual come together.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's a good success story. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor O. You are a star.
You're welcome. Praise God.
Father's Day is next Sunday. Not this Sunday, Pastor. Not today. It's next Sunday. And so we going to celebrate, talk about fathers and, you know, what they mean to us and what a father is about, and just, you know, hopefully a lot of these fathers will come back and come back to the family and come back to the church and just be who God meant for them to be, you know, represent and get into their role. So we're going to celebrate Father's Day next Sunday and talk about our dad. That's my favorite. Well, I like Mother's Day, too, but Father's Day is cool. let me see.
At our church, if I can see it, at our church, we're going to have Minister DeAndre Perry from Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church out of Battle Creek, Michigan.
All right. So come on and join us. That is at 27085 West Otter Drive. E-Course, Michigan, 27085 West Otter Drive, E-Course, Michigan. Come on, bring your young folk and listen to the young folk speak to us. Yeah. Okay. You're welcome to come. Run for Christ Ministry, Sunday for Father's Day. And what else we got? Let's see. We got some graduates. We want to just keep, you know, lifting them up. And let me see, announce them. See what we got here. Yeah, too much paper. Graduate, where are they? We got, let me see, we have Amir Jones, and he's graduating tomorrow from Woodhaven High School. Yay, Amir. And then we have, what is her name? Shania Cox, she graduated from Michigan State University, and she has moved to Cincinnati, yeah, Cincinnati, Ohio, to take a position with Hormel Foods. So she's in training, and that's where she chose to go. They gave her a good package, and that's where she chose to go, all because she went to school, did what she was supposed to do with her education, and, you know, now she has choices, and that's what we want to do. We want to give our young folks, make sure that they have some choices, okay? So I want to congratulate her, Amir, and Tiana Nicole Johnson. She's planning on going to Tennessee State University and studying administrative business administration. And then we have a young fella, Christian Guyton. He's graduating and going on to high school. I think he goes to Mark Twain School for Scholars. So he's going on to high school. So, hey, congratulations, all you graduates. We expect the best from you. Okay? All right, well, that's it. Pastor, you got anything else you want to say or close out?
Let me turn this monitor down. I'm good. Like I said, I love the show and I love being on here. Somehow, I never do anything on Sundays. You know, Sheila will tell you that after I preach, I'm no good. But somehow, the Lord sort of fixed me and hold me for this show. And so I know he's into this. And so I'm into it. You know what I mean? So, no, I am good.
He can help me, too, because I'm like, I'm always anxious. I'm like, all right, okay.
Hey, you know, it'd be good. I'd love to do round table talks, you know.
I know. We could talk for hours and hours.
You know, I listen to Mary, Erica Campbell, and her morning show with her, Griff, TJ, and Venos, and Brittany. I know the whole cast. But I listen to them. I also listen to Steve Harvey. I love to hear him give his closing. He always give a closing speech at the end of his show. That boy is something else. He's awesome. I like listening to him, too. But I study their shows and how they work, and they can sit there for 4 hours. And people stay tuned in for 4 hours. I'm like, this is unbelievable. But they talk, they have fun, and all of that.
Yeah, they do. I used to listen to talk shows. That's all I used to listen to was talk shows all day long in my car, traveling, and, or at home. I just turn it on. That's all. I never watched TV. I always liked talk shows. Well, radio
and now you
talk
got
shows.
One.
That is amazing.
Now you got one.
Well, I have my little fella here. What's your name? Christian.
Christian Guyton.
Christian Guyton. He's bothering me right now. You're going to do what now?
Graduate on the 23rd.
All right. Good for you. So we just announced your name. Christian Guyton, graduating from where?
Mark Twain Elementary School for Scholars.
Okay.
All right.
Elementary Middle School for Scholars.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right.
Okay. He's going to do something good. Yeah, he's a hustler. He loves to work for his little allowance. So he's ready. Okay. Yeah, okay, you'll be seeing him soon. He's going to be coming to church and getting that part of his education. Okay, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Come on back with us next Sunday and let's celebrate our fathers and talk about them, whatever way we want to talk about them. And talk about the kids. This show is about the kids. It really is. And so, look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. Did I forget anything? Okay, that's it. Okay, thanks, Pastor L. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thanks for the comments, Terrence. And we'll see you next Sunday. Ciao.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be, and so I learned to depend on me. Children are our future. Teach them well and let them.